Good morning. Today is
Israel.
Father, we lift up the nation of Israel and just ask, Father, that you would touch them. Lord, that you would continue to be their shield and defender. Father, that you would remove the blinders from their eyes. Lord, as there's attacks going on from coming from the Gaza Strip, coming, Father, from Lebanon. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you continue to show yourself mighty on their behalf. Lord, that they might recognize that you are their defender, that they may have these technological weapons and all of these other things going on, but still, you are their defense. Lord, that they would turn to you and seek your face. Father, that the blinders would come off of their eyes. And we give you praise, Father. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Message this morning is on sweat equity. You take a look at the picture of the on the front of the bulletin. Though there was no details with it, that's very common for one of the Habitat for Humanity houses. You'll see pictures like that anytime they're building a house. And sweat equity is, most of us know what it is, but for the record, sweat equity is when you use your effort to make something more valuable. You know, so the equity is an increase in value, and the sweat is your own work doing it. And we recognize that in things like Habitat for Humanity houses, that the people who are going to receive a house, that they have to work in it, to work in putting in so many hours into helping build the house, because there's the pride of ownership. Many of us have seen what happens when a teenager is given something that they had absolutely no effort in, and because of that, they don't have any care or concern for it and tend to treat things worse, especially with the society the way it is these days, where people are destroying things that just because it's there, things that they don't have any hand in, any ownership of. So sweat equity is a way not only of making something more valuable, but also making something more valuable to us by what we put into it. That being said, let's get into the scripture. Genesis 2, beginning with verse 4, says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the heaven, made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field was grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Everything out there, everything we see around us, was made by God. God's got His sweat equity in this world. As ambassadors for Christ, as servants of the living God, as heirs and joint heirs with Christ, how we treat the environment is even a reflection on that. Now, there are people that will go out and, we see it. We see it in the world. You can save the whales, but you can't save the unborn babies, in the world where we are today. Because when you're not grounded in the Lord, when you're not grounded in seeking His face, when you're not grounded in having a relationship with God, then everyone does that which is right in their own mind. We read about that in the Judges. We read about that all through the history of Israel. People doing what seemed like a good idea, but not having it grounded in the Lord. So everything that we have, everything that's around us, is from God. Including our brothers and sisters, including our spouses, including our kids, including the bad boss, including the annoying neighbor. Everything around us is a gift from God, and because of that, how we react to the people around us is a reflection of what we understand about God in our lives. If each and every person is made in the image of God, how we react with other people is a reflection of how we actually truly understand who God to be. That was a little side note, but important that we understand that. In Psalm 24, beginning with verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's with all and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in this holy place?" We're familiar with the psalm. We know that it goes on to say, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart." But the point is, everything out there is God's. It all belongs to the Lord, and how we treat it is a reflection of who we know God to be. God's sweat equity is in that tree right there. Not that I'm saying God sweats. I'm just trying to say God made it more valuable by His effort. God made each and every one of us valuable by His effort. Our value comes from the Lord. In Psalm 50, beginning with verse 7, the Bible says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take any bull from your house, nor goats out of your field. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle of 1,000 hills. I know all of the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all of its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." He says, I'm not going to complain about your offerings and your sacrifices. But recognize giving things to the Lord isn't something that God needs. God doesn't need my money. He doesn't need our sacrifices. He doesn't need, you know, the things that our hands create. He said, bring them. Pay unto God your vows. He says, make those offerings. That's fine. But recognize it's not because I need them. I'm not going to eat the flesh of your bulls. I'm not going to drink the blood of your goats. I have all of these things. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. But it's part of building a relationship with God to make those offerings and to make that sacrifice. It's part of recognizing who we are about God. As a pastor, you don't get to talk about, don't often get to talk to your own congregation about stewardship and tithing. That's one of those things that's rarely, rarely touched. I think I've done 3 tithing sermons in my whole time as a pastor. And it was never to my own congregation. It was always... because it's one of those things that make people uncomfortable. But God says, I don't need it. I don't need your money. But it's part of a relationship with God. And each person is between them and God. And I'm not going to, while I know what goes into the offering plate or what goes into the box, I don't know what goes into your bank account. So I have no position to judge anyway. And just as you don't know what goes into my bank account. Except we know that God has been faithful. Here in Psalm 50, "I will not rebuke you for your sacrifice or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me." Remember when they were going to build the tabernacle, and then later when they were going to build the temple, people brought whatever God had placed on their heart to bring. Until they finally had to say, "Whoa, that's enough. Stop bringing it." God has blessed us richly, individually and as a congregation and as this building. This church building has been debt-free since before I became the pastor. We put in a new furnace because we were going to lose our insurance otherwise. Praise God, the money was there. The well and the septic were put in for a cost of $18,000, well and septic, put in January, in the midst of 2 weeks of 50-degree rain in January. The ground thawed enough that the well drillers and the septic people could come over and do the work in January in Vermont. Because God tends to make money stretch, tends to make things happen. And it's a blessing of God when we recognize that everything we have belongs to God. Let's go over into Genesis 28. One of those fascinating passages of Scripture. There's so many fascinating passages of Scripture, and like the whole book is fascinating. As it said, you know, with the possible exception of the genealogies, but there's even a purpose for that. In 28, beginning with verse 10, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he went to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached the heavens. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and east, to the north and south. And in you and in your seed all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.'" God made a promise. God says, "I'm going to watch over and take care of you, because I have a plan and purpose, not only for you, but for your whole household, for your family throughout the generations. I have a blessing upon you." You know, he goes, Jacob looks around, wakes up the next morning and says, "Surely this is the house of God, and I didn't know it." He changed the name of the place to Bethel, which meaning the house of God, because before his name was Luz. You know, he set up an altar to worship the Lord there. But then he says something very, very important. Verse 20 says, "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you.'" I was reading from this verse one time, and I said, that's the first time tithe is mentioned. I had some people wanted to call me out, because Abraham gave a tenth of all that he had to Melchizedek. But that's all it says. Abraham gave a tenth of all he had to Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek, the name itself means king of righteousness. Melchizedek, king of righteousness. He was the king of Salem, king of peace, Jerusalem. He was a servant of El Shaddai, God Most High. And Abraham gave him a tenth of all, but there is absolutely no context to it. But here Jacob says, "Because God watches over me, I will give him back a tenth of everything he gives me. It all belongs to the Lord." And that later got incorporated into the rules for Israel, talking about tithe. In fact, in Malachi it says, "Will a man rob God? How do we rob you? In tithes and offerings." It says to bring all the tithes into the storehouse and see if God will not pour out a blessing. And some people will say that in the New Testament tithes aren't mentioned. I've heard that argument. But Jesus, talking to the Pharisees, talked about how they made their boast that they tithed of rue and mint, but they were wicked in other ways, and they weren't gracious to the people around them. He said, "This you should have done, the keeping of the tithes, and not leave the other undone." It's a recognition that the fact that everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we have belongs to God. He allows us to use it. And He blesses us, and He is gracious in it. And God has been faithful in my life. He's been faithful in all of our lives. I came up to Vermont 23 years ago, pushing 23 and a half years ago. And everything I had fit in a small backpack and a little 20-inch duffel bag. Everything I owned. And God has richly blessed me. We have been faithful to God. This church has been faithful to God, and this church continues to grow. This church continues, Father, continues to be a light to the community, to be able to reach out. Of all the tithes and offerings that come into the church, we support, we have 20% going out to different ministry groups, as we are able to You know, not just the tithe, but 20% goes out. And still, God continues to bless us and God continues to take care of us. And that's just the standard. That's not somebody calls and needs help and we can reach out. Our ministry or a situation comes up and we can reach out and we can be a blessing. We have seen God be faithful in everything. God is faithful in all of His ways. And God's sweat equity is even here in this church. And part of our relationship with the Lord is using what He has given us and being faithful stewards of it. Using the blessings that He's given us and giving praise to Him, but also reaching out to the people around us. Showing God's grace and showing God's mercy. Showing who God is by the way we treat the land, the way we treat other people. Showing our relationship with God because we are His ambassadors. We are His witnesses. We are called to be light and salt in every situation. And in doing that, we reveal our relationship with God. We have a hand in building this Habitat for Humanity house here thing. We have a hand in building this congregation and this community. And it's not everything, like as I said, everything we have is a gift from God. But the gifts that God has given us, we use them to encourage other people and to build up other people. The Bible says that the whole body is strengthened by that which every joint supplies. You know what that means? That means we have to be active. Not just financially, but with our time, with our prayers. How are we helping? How are we encouraging other people? What can we do to make this place a better place? What can we do to make this church? What can we do to strengthen our congregation? What can we do to reach out and lift up other people in the body of Christ? Do we pray for other churches? Do we recognize that we need to? Paul said, I would that men ought always to pray and not faint. So there's that. Or no, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. But Paul said that prayers and supplication be made for all men, for everyone, for kings and all in authority. But he said, for everyone. Are we praying for everyone? Honestly, we're not. We don't know everyone. But when God brings somebody across our path, Lord, touch him. Lord, bless them. When the ambulance goes by, Father, be with that situation. When the police car goes by, Lord, we don't know what's going on, but you know all things. And we pray, Father, for your grace and your mercy. We pray, Father, that you would work and intervene in the hearts and lives of those people involved. We're praying for those bicyclists right there. Touch them, Lord. And keep them out of the road that they don't get hurt. Be with them. Touch their hearts, Father, as they drive by, as they see the trees, as they see the sceneries, as they see these things that you have made, Lord, that you stir in their hearts. Being faithful stewards of what God has given us. He's given us eyes to see. When we see things, let's speak. When we see things, let's lift them up before the throne. Work in what God has given us. God has gifted each and every one of us differently. We have unique and special gifts. And God wants us to use what He's given us for the strengthening of the body of Christ, for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. It says in Romans, the whole creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. God wants us to show His grace, show His love, show His glory. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and will quicken your mortal bodies. Praise God. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. Praise God. What can't the Spirit of God do? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things the Lord has prepared for them who love Him. And God calls each and every one of us to be salt and light. Each and every one of us to be His witnesses. Each and every one of us to be faithful. Each and every one of us to work for the good of others. To honor others above ourselves. To seek the best for other people. And of course, the best is that they come to know the Lord. The best is that they become obedient to His Word. The best is that they walk in His grace. There's a verse in Psalms, and I don't remember exactly where it is, but it was, you know, it was a prayer when the psalmist was having a rough day. We'll put it that way. And he prayed for somebody that their days be few and that another rise up and take their place. And I've seen that attached to different political figures. That's not what God has called us to do. Lift them up that they might come to know the Lord and come to walk in His ways and come to seek His face. That their lives might bring glory to Him. And that they might become witnesses, faithful witnesses, and a testimony of the grace and mercy of God. If God wants to hold us up as trophies of His grace, He wants to hold everyone up as trophies of His grace. Oh Lord, help us. Help us, Father, to put in the effort. Help us, Father, to do the things that You've called us to do, to take pride of ownership in this life that You've given us. Not that we've done it by our own effort, but Father, but that we recognize Your grace, Your love, and Your mercy in our lives. And You've called us, Father, to display those good works that others may see them and glorify our Father in heaven. To recognize how valuable people are. Because they are made in the image of a holy God. They are made, knit together in their mother's womb by the hands of a sovereign, almighty, holy God who loves them. Who loves them so much He made the way of escape. Lord, let us not be like those children that destroy things that they don't own and don't care about. Help us, Father, to recognize that the earth is Yours in all of its fullness, and it's all precious to You, and each and every person is precious to You. And part of our keeping our vows to You, part of our showing our relationship with You, showing our love to You, is loving those things that You love, caring for those things that You care about, recognizing the value in those things that You made with Your own hands and made valuable. Help us, Father, as God has put His own effort into our lives and into the lives of the people around us, as His ambassadors, as His children, as heirs and joint heirs. We need to care for the legacy. We need to care for the inheritance. We need to care for the things our Father owns. Praise God, Father, we do thank You. Thank You, Lord, for everything that we have. Thank You, Father, for everything that You've allowed to come into our hands. Even thank You, Father, for those things that are difficult and those things that are troublesome and those things that are painful. We know, Lord, that You are at work in the circumstances. Just as we talked in prayer earlier about Carol's brother-in-law falling, and the fact that he's alive in itself is a miracle. And that You had another hiker that was able to spot him and call for help. And the rescue came and got him and took him to the hospital. And he's still alive, Father. And he's healing, Lord. Lord, You are at work in our circumstances. You are at work in our hearts. You are at work in our lives. You are at work in our homes. You are at work in our businesses. You are at work, Father, every place that we go. So, Father, open our eyes to see Your hand at work. And help us, Father, to use the gift that You've given us, the abilities that You've given us, the wisdom that You've given us, to be able to speak life and speak encouragement and to enhance the value of the situations we're in. By Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, Father, give us Your wisdom. Give us Your eyes and give us Your heart. For those things that are on Your heart, those things that You have made by Your own hand. We give praise and thanks for it, Father. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have done and continue to do. Thank You, Father, for Your grace shed abroad in our heart. Thank You, Lord, for the things that You brought us through. As You make us more and more and more like Jesus. More and more and more faithful witnesses. More and more and more a blessing to the people You send us to. Father, we give praise and we do give thanks for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.